you for your holy, written, and anointed word. I thank you that as we look into it this morning, God, that your anointing is on the word, and we set ourselves in a place to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Lord, thank you for Holy Spirit working in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Children, you can go to Sunday school, and you may be seated. As we look to the Word this morning, we are so glad that the Word of God gives us life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." So as we look to the Word, we know that we receive life from Him. And if we are going to receive anything from the Word, we must remember that the things that Jesus said when He declared over His Word, that when He spoke them, there was an impartation of life. Impartation of life that comes to us. So, why don't we just say this together this morning? Father, I thank you for the life that's in the Word of God. I receive the life of God through the Word of God administered by Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You might say, well, Pastor, you're the one that's going to be doing the talking, so how come you say it's through the Holy Spirit? Well, I say it's through the Holy Spirit because I know well enough that a preacher can be preaching, a speaker can be speaking, and Holy Spirit be talking to you about something else altogether. I know I've sat many times and heard people speak, and Holy Spirit start talking to me because of the anointing and because of the environment, I should say, of Holy Spirit being in our midst, wanting to speak to us about things that we need to be spoken to about. So I may be talking about something this morning that Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily have for you this morning, but He'll begin to speak to you about something else, something that maybe only you and God know about. Something that He will touch in your heart in order to stir you and say, I want you to deal with this. I want to show you this. I want to bring light on this particular area in your life. Because we know light drives out darkness, and darkness certainly is something that we want to be free from. We want to walk out of darkness into light and into the kingdom of God. So I want to share a few things this morning really concerning some of the things that were shared over last week, especially because both Corinne in the morning spoke on a spirit of fear, and Mike spoke last Sunday night, I believe, on getting rid of your fears or an expiration date on your fear. And so that's really powerful if we get a hold of it, because the world is really run by fear. Fear is what the enemy uses in order to get people into a certain arena so that he can express himself through God's creation. You see, God desires to express himself through what he has made, through his creation, but the enemy wants to usurp that, and he wants to express himself through God's creation. And he uses fear to do that. And we want to look at a couple of these things this morning just to get a concept of what the enemy is trying to do if we're not wise when it comes to the schemes of the enemy, then we can be caught in his tricks. But the Apostle Paul said for us to remember that we are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. Well, if we're not ignorant of his schemes, it must mean that there's some things that we learn about how the enemy functions so that we don't have pitfalls and fall into those areas that the enemy wants us to use to trip us up. Before I go any further, let's pray. Pray about a few things. Pray for some of our people, our congregation, who are dealing with issues. This morning, Lorette called and she's having the flu bug or something and she wasn't able to make it. And I'm sure there's others probably that are fighting some kinds of sickness and disease. Also, Charlie McGagan is still in the hospital not in the hospital, he's home. He got home Thursday night from his skidoo accident. And so we want to pray for a quick healing in that particular area, and also for Dave Gaudette, who has just had a knee operation, and he's feeling some pain there as well. So we've prayed about these things, and I prayed with Charlie, I prayed with Dave, and so forth, and I know God answers prayer. even if it's just an individual, but I love for us to pray together sometimes as a congregation, because there's power in corporate prayer, but there's also fellowship in corporate prayer as well. It connects us divinely. And God, in His wisdom, has made us not, He has made us individually, but He also deals with us many times corporately. And that's why it's so great to be connected with the body of believers of like faith who believe. So let's pray about these situations and whatever else God leads us into praying. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace. We thank You for the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. We thank You that we hold our security in You, Father, that in You is You hold all good things, Lord. Your word tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So God, we thank You for the perfect gift of health today. We thank You, God, that You in Your great ability are still healing today. And God, we think of those who are suffering from sickness and disease. We want to say that we believe that Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross. He was tied to the whipping post. And the Bible says that by His stripes we are healed. So God, we claim the healing that Jesus paid for. And we come against every disease, germ, and every virus that would try to harass us. And we command it to die now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You for restoration in bones that have been broken and bones that have just simply wore down. We thank You for You bringing restoration into these bones in Jesus' name. We think of Charlie, Lord, and we pray, God, for a quick healing in his body in the name of Jesus. And we pray also for Dave, God, and we thank You for You touching his body and bring total healing. And we rejoice in seeing both of these men in perfect health in the name of Jesus. We bless You for it now. And thank You, God, for we serve a God who hears and answers prayer and loves to see His children rejoicing in Him in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, let's talk a little bit about this area of fear. Let's delve into it a little bit. There's all kinds of fears. It's unbelievable if you go and look at the list of fears that you can find even on the internet. It's incredible. It'd be foolish to start naming a few because there are so many. Everything you can think of, there's a fear about it. There's somebody involved with fear concerning it. Fear of going outside, fear of being alone, fear of being in big crowds. There's just all kinds of fears that come to us. And people deal with them, and what has been mentioned over the last couple of sermons that were spoken here was an ability to face your fears. It's important to make a determined effort to face your fears, acknowledge them, and then you actually begin to shed light on them, and God begins to bring ways into our lives then to deal with fear. Remember, this guy went to this psychiatrist, and he was saying, I need some help, and I need some help bad. He said, I get in bed, and just a fear comes upon me. I fear that there's somebody under my bed, and I get out of bed, and I look underneath the bed, nothing there. When I'm looking under the bed, I have a fear that somebody is on top of my bed. I just have an awful fear. You got to help me. I'm going crazy. And the psychiatrist said, okay, I can do that. He said, come to me for 2 years, 3 times a week, and I'll cure you of your fears. And he said, how much is that going to cost? He said, it'll be $100 a session. And the guy says, let me think about it. And so he went his way, and about 6 months later, a psychiatrist ran into this guy, and he said, oh, what happened to you? And he said, I got rid of my fears. And he said, well, how come? Why didn't you come back to me? He said, well, for $100 a session? I don't think so. Anyway, he said, a friend of mine told me something, I got rid of my fear for $10. He just charged me $10. And he said, well, what did he tell you? He told me to cut the legs off my bed. Well, we deal with fear certain different ways. Cut the legs off his bed, didn't fear anybody was under his bed any longer. Fear can be a funny thing. Fear can hold us in bondage. Let me read you a definition of fear. And this really is a secular definition that is given about fear. It says, fear is a human emotion that is triggered by a perceived threat. Notice this, a perceived threat, not necessarily a real threat, a perceived threat. And it's just as real to the person who is feeling this way as if it was a real threat. A perceived threat can be just as real. And fear does everything it can do in order for us to make us think that it's real. Let me read to you one person who is having a rather difficult time and claims to have gotten a certain degree of healing from the area of her fears. She says, "I am a worrywart. I spend hours on Google self-diagnosing anything that feels abnormal. I like to organize and schedule things to compensate for my fear of the future. I overthink everything. So for me, all decisions, big or small, take time. Anxiety is part of my everyday life." Said, "This is my story. I've had my share of debilitating moments. I felt sharp pains in my chest, weird tingling sensations that led me to convince myself that either my heart was literally erupting or that I am in the brink of dying of a heart attack. Even as I write this now, it feels like there is an ever-growing weight on my chest. I feel like I am suffocating, drowning, and fainting all at the same time." This is a terrible way to live. And here's an individual, it's part of their everyday life. And actually, in this particular case, it seems that they think they can get rid of it by merely talking about it. There has to be more than talk when it comes to getting rid of this fear. Corinne talked about the scripture last week in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound, disciplined mind. You see, there is fear, and then there's a spirit of fear. And somebody who is consumed with fear is most likely dealing with a spirit of fear. And a spirit of fear is something that gets on us to hold us in bondage so that we are fearful about everything, about every situation that comes along. When fear comes into our heart, comes into our lives, our heart rate increases and blood flows to the muscles so that we can run faster. Do you ever notice that? When something happens, I mean, you see a snake and suddenly you're afraid of it. All of a sudden you can run. You may think you couldn't run before, but suddenly you were able to move fast. Suddenly the adrenaline and everything comes upon your body and it causes you to swing into action. Our body also increases the flow of hormones to the brain to help us focus on the presenting danger and to store it in our memory. That's the interesting part. Sometimes when something happens in our lives where fear comes, that something happens in an emotional experience, happens in our brain so that we'll remember that. And that when anything reminds us of that situation, all the emotions will come up in it as well. If we're in a fearful state, if as a child we've been abused, we have major abuse, or the father comes home and he's a madman and begins slapping the kid around or begins beating them and so forth, there's tremendous fear there. And this person grows up to be a big, strong man, but every time they think about that situation, all the emotions of the fear comes into it as well. See, that's the way our brains work. That's the way a spirit of fear is designed to influence us. Once the pathways of fear are ramped up in our mind, in other words, when fear comes, especially if we have a lot of fear, our brain waves begin to build pathways so this fear can run on it very, very clearly. Once the fear pathways are ramped up, the brain short circuits normal rational processing of our thoughts. It messes up the rational pathways that we have in the brain. And we react immediately to signals from the brain that are initiated by fear. In other words, when fear comes, we react very quickly. And we react not out of rational thinking, but out of our past experiences that we remember. Because our emotions all come together to be able to steer us toward fear. When in this overactive state, the brain perceives events as negative and remembers them that way. So anytime fear comes up, even just a little bit, or a lot of situations happen that remind us of the fear incidences that we have, We always perceive them as negative. Always. You know, one of the best antidotes for looking at everything as negative? The Apostle Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:28 says, "And our God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." In other words, no matter what situation happens, it may look like a negative situation, it may look like a bad situation, but God says, "I'm going to cause this situation to work out for good in your life." Sometimes we may not be able to see the good, but God says he'll cause it to work for good. Even though fear comes in sometimes, we can still relate to what God says about causing a negative situation to turn out for good. I've seen that so many times in my own life. Something I thought was very, very bad, I thought it was going to take me down the wrong road, I seen God work good out of it eventually. Oh, it wasn't fun, and I'm not suggesting that it's fun going through some tough, fearful times. But if we stay in with God, he'll cause it to work together for good. And he has done that. Praise God. Now, in the New King James Bible, there's a phrase that's mentioned at least 51 times. And it says, "Do not fear." Do not fear. Just those words, "do not fear," is mentioned 51 times. Now, there's other phrases that say, "do not be afraid," "do not lose heart." But even, and they all basically mean the same thing, but this phrase, "do not fear," is mentioned at least 51 times. So there's many, many, many times in Scripture that we are exhorted not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. Now, I don't believe that would be in the Bible nearly as many times if there wasn't a reason for it. If we didn't have this opportunity to be afraid. If we didn't have this opportunity to be influenced by a spirit of fear. But as we look to God and see what he says about it, then we can cast our fears away. Because we begin to understand that he has real knowledge in this area. Now listen to this scripture in Genesis chapter 9. Verse 2. Verse 1 talks about Noah coming out of the ark. And we all know the story about Noah and the ark and how God floods the earth. But Noah comes out of the ark and he gives God speaks a blessing upon Noah. And he says this word to him in verse 2. "And the fear of you," God says to Noah, "the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand." Now he made this statement to Noah and he said, "The fear of all the animals of you is going to be upon all the animals." In other words, God is saying to Noah, he said, "You're going to rule these animals because there's a fear of man put upon them." And of course we see that today, don't we? I mean, we can go to almost any situation and there's an animal there that could eat you alive, but if you come in and show your authority, they're going to usually always flee. Very seldom does an animal really attack a human being. There's a fear in them. And God meant for that fear in the animals, he meant for man to have dominion or to be able to have dominion over the animals through this fear. Now, Satan knows that. The enemy of our soul knows that. And so what he wants to do is to take that fear and put it upon man so that man will fear the enemy. And in that process, he will have dominion over man the way man has dominion over the animals. That's what he desires to do. He desires to take that fear that God put on animals and use it to dominate man. It's amazing, really, when you look at it. And I know that, there's many ways we can look at animals and notice that the fear of man is on them. It's interesting, even when we have pets, that, they can, as long as we're treating them real nice, they're cozy up to us good, pretty good. But if they've done something wrong, they kind of stand offish a little bit. I remember a dog we used to have years ago named Peaches. And we used to keep her in the basement all the time. We lived in the big farmhouse, and we had the place in the basement for her, and she would always go outside to do her job. But, you know, sometimes in the middle of the winter when it was about minus 25, she didn't care too much about going outside to do her job. She'd just run up to the door and look out there, and she'd kind of winch back in and say, "Ah, I'll not go out there." She'd go back down in the basement. And so one day I went down there, and there was a mess on the floor. And, of course, every time I went down in the basement, she would come and wagging her tail or something, and I seen the mess on the floor, and she was standing right there, and I looked at her and looked at the mess on the floor, and I said, "Peaches, did you do that?" And it was the funniest thing. She was looking, had her nose and everything right straight, looking straight at me, but while I was talking to her, she was doing this. She was looking over here. She wouldn't look at me in the eye at all. She would just look this way all the time. And I was telling her, "You know better than that. You shouldn't do that." And I was going on like that, and she was afraid of my next move. Why? Because that was a natural fear of an animal toward a human being. And they can't help that. They really cannot help that. They just move that way because it's in them. And you see, that's what the enemy attempts to do in our lives, to get us into a place where it seems like we're totally immobilized by fear, that we cannot do anything about it. But that is a lie. You and I don't have to act according to our fears. We can overcome our fears. We can face those fears head on and be free from them. I mean, people's lives sometimes are ruined because of fear, a spirit of fear upon their lives. They're afraid to go outside, and they're recluses because of the fear that's upon them. You and I have to take the word of God and allow it to wash over ourselves and take the word, like in Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, the Lord says something to Abraham, the father of faith, and the Lord appeared to him the same night. God appeared to Abraham and said, "I am the Lord God of your father Abraham. Do not fear." I guess he's saying this to Isaac. "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham." In other words, he's saying, do not be afraid in this world. Do not. If you are in a state of fear, you're going to have a hard time receiving the blessing of God. It's just simple as that. And so many times people get into a state of fear and it begins to affect them physically. And rather than deal with the fear, they'll spend all their time running to the doctor trying to deal with the physical aspect of what the fear is producing. And that's really, they'll never get free from that fear. And most likely not from the sickness and disease either. You see, no matter what kind of physical sickness or disease we might be dealing with, if it is initiated or if it's a result of fear, we must deal with the fear issue in order to deal with the practical aspects of getting rid of the effect that it's having on our body. Listen to the words of Jesus. "The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows." He just got telling them, look at the sparrows. How they are arrayed and with beauty. And God looks at them and as very valuable. But he says, you are more valuable than many sparrows. So do not fear. Luke 12:32. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's amazing having our Father talk to us about this. He's saying, I want to give you the kingdom, but do not fear. Because if you continue in fear, you're going to have a difficult time enjoying the benefits of the kingdom of God. Because as long as fear is in our lives, then the enemy has an avenue to torment you. Do not fear. He tries to get this fear out of us. And one of the best ways to get the fear out of us is to get the Word of God in us. Look at the Word of God and see what it says about the situation. I love the scripture in Psalm 119. "Your word I have hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you." You see, it's not just merely reading the Word of God once in a while. The psalmist says, "Your word I've hid in my heart." In other words, I've hid your word in my heart so that if something comes up that's tragic, That hidden word in my heart will come out automatically. Fear won't be my response when I hear something, a tragic situation in my own life. The word of God will come out. Last night, about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, I was in my office, and I got a call from Joshua, my son, and said that Allison had to go to the hospital. She's 7 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant, and thought she might be having a difficult time. And so she needed somebody to go out and look after Turner, so Debbie and I got in the car and drove out there. But I got off the phone, I hung up the phone, and the thought hit me for a minute about that little child that Allison is carrying in her womb. The thought hit me for a moment, just a second, about could that baby be in trouble and dying or so forth. But just a split second that goes through your head, and just as quickly I began to pray, and I began to have words of life coming out of my mouth, words that God is the author of life, and it's his design that life come forth from the womb, and that and just speaking life into her, refusing to look at the what ifs. You can drive yourself in the place of fear if you look at the what ifs. The what ifs are designed to bring you into a place of fear. You have to be willing to cast that aside and look at what the Word of God says about the situation. And so every one of us must take that, must hide the Word in our heart to the point where the Word comes out when you are squeezed. Your Word I have hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. The Message translation of the Bible puts a portion of this scripture this way. God's word is an indispensable weapon. God's word is an indispensable weapon. God's word is so powerful that as we speak about it with authority, then things have to shift and change. And God's word will stop the enemy in his tracks. But we must have God's word hidden in our heart. You got that picture there that I had in the desktop this morning, Rob? So on PowerPoint, God's word in our heart will make a difference. God's word in our heart is an indispensable weapon. But God's word nearly in the Bible doesn't do anything. In other words, if it's just in the Bible and we're not believing it, and we're not trusting in it, or we're not believing that it's true, then it's nothing to us. It's absolutely nothing to us. And sometimes the enemy will try to get us to get away from God's word, get in between us and God's word, and set ourselves into a place of danger and destruction. It's all God's fault. Okay, that's okay. Just leave it. Never mind. It's only one picture anyway. Anyway, God's word in our heart is what makes the difference. It's not just merely taking the word of God and reading it like a story. It is getting it into our hearts so that it is a protection toward us. Psalm 91 is a wonderful, wonderful example of words of protection over our lives. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you are my fortress and my refuge, my God in whom I trust. In other words, he is the one who is to be able to protect us. And we see ourselves in this place of protection. What I want to show about this is here, God's word is an indispensable weapon, and here we see a lion between the man and the weapon. Bad place to get yourself in. The weapon's on the other side. You get yourself into a place where the word of God, you haven't picked up the word of God for so long, you can't think of a scripture of protection around your life, and suddenly the enemy comes in. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion who wants to come in and devour you. Well, if you get yourself separated from the word, you might get yourself in trouble. But the word of God is a weapon. Don't ever allow that to happen. It almost looks like that line is saying, you fool. All cozied up there in your tent. But here I am. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword if we use it. The sword has to be used. Listen to the scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let it get into your bones. Let the word of Christ dwell in you with all wisdom. In other words, let it rest in you. Let God's word so saturate you that it will come out of you in every difficult situation that you get in. Let the word of God, I like this in the Message translation, let the word of God have the run of your house. Set up your house by the word of God. Run your household by the word of God. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Why would the Apostle Paul tell us to do that? When he's talking about allowing the word of Christ to dwell in your heart, why would he tell us to sing our hearts out to God? Now, you can take this from from somebody that you might say, well, you're just a guy who's shooting off his mouth. But I've been in this long enough to know. Let me put it this way. I've been in this long enough to know that I need to enter into some things that I don't understand in order to get the benefit of them. I need to enter into some things that I don't fully comprehend in order to get the benefit of them. And when the Word of God tells us to sing in our hearts to God, it doesn't make sense to my natural mind, but I know there is something about worshiping God that brings the peace of God, the deliverance of God, and the safety of God. I know that there's something about singing unto the Lord that causes an environment of peace to encompass us and to help us toward the goals that we're trying to accomplish. You know, back in the 60s, in the civil rights movement in the United States, one of the greatest aspects of the movement, one of the greatest strengths of the movements, and one of the greatest weapons of the movements amongst the black African people in the United States was their singing songs of freedom. They constantly, every time they got together, when they marched, they would sing songs. Even the civil rights leaders will say that to this day, that's one of the major keys of their ability to be able to stay together and join together was their singing together. And there were often songs that came from Scripture talking about the freedom in Christ. And they talk about how that created an environment where they were able to accomplish their goals. You see, when God tells us to worship Him, there's a power in that. There's a power in that worship. And when we come together on a Sunday morning, hopefully it's not the only time we come together on a Sunday morning and we begin to worship Him, we can take advantage of that corporate worship and sing our hearts out unto God, or we can stand there or sit there and do nothing and not participate and get nothing. But the choice is ours. God says, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse, and choose life. That's one of the aspects of life that we can gain from, is when we sing unto the Lord. Fear is a terrible thing. Now I'm going to try to wind down here real quick, but I want to read I can't read everything that I prepared this morning, but let me read this to you. 85% of the people who die of snake bite, poisonous snake bite, 85% of the people who die from snake bite don't have enough venom in their blood system to account for their death. Then how do they die? Researchers suggest that the terror felt by a person who receives a potentially fatal snake bite has caused heart failure. Isn't that interesting? 85% of the people die actually because of fear rather than the poison that's put into their body. That shows you the terrible devastation, the destructive power of a spirit of fear. So you want to get rid of it. Number one, if there's something that you fear, own up to it and ask for God's help in dealing with it. So 85% of people don't have enough venom in their system to die. but their fear kills them. Now listen to the scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, talking about Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Him who has the power of death, that is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's one of the main fears that the enemy tries to put upon people and hold over people is the fear of death. What's going to happen to me after I die? What's it going to be like? The fear of death has gotten many, many people in target shot of the enemy's arrows. The fear of death can paralyze human beings. But I want you to know there is a deliverer that has come and washed away every spirit of fear of death that can come upon us, that can hold us in bondage. There is a Savior who came and has declared, if you will put your trust in me, if you will put your faith in me, you have an eternity of heaven in heaven and have no reason at all to ever fear dying. You, when you look at death as a believer, you're looking to graduation day. You're looking to an exciting experience to be able to walk in and experience heaven itself. When you really take time to think about that, death has no hold on you any longer. The fear of death has no hold on you whatsoever. You have been brought into a place of freedom. And, you know, if there's nothing else to praise God about for the rest of our lives, we can stop there and worship him because he has delivered us from the fear of death. That's what brought me into the kingdom of God. When I realized, when reading the Bible and Holy Spirit convicting me, I realized that I was, if I died, the Bible speaks of a place called hell that I was going to end up in if I didn't know Jesus, if I didn't give my life to Jesus. And a fear came upon me. And I believe that was a healthy fear. There was a fear enough to get me looking into the Word of God to find a way out. And I found that Jesus died for my sins so that I didn't have to die and go to hell. And man, that is liberating. That is absolutely liberating to know that your sins are forgiven. I remember reading about an atheist and they were dying. And she said, I envy those Christians. I would love to have somebody who would forgive my sins. Isn't that amazing? I'd love to have somebody that I could confess my sins to. Well, there is somebody, and his name is Jesus. And he's come and paid the price that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. Stand with me, please. God has dealt with the spirit of fear. Jesus came to deal with that, to put that away. So no matter what it is, I challenge you today to challenge your fears. Janice, I heard you were challenging your fear yesterday. Yeah. Challenging our fears will diminish their strength. And sometimes a fear will go completely, but as we continue to challenge them, they'll become smaller and smaller and smaller. Look them in the face. I remember hearing a story, I think I've told you this a number of times, with Kenneth Copeland. We look at him, many people look at him, you know, he has a lot of influence and does a lot of preaching all around the world. And he tells a story how he was bound with a spirit of fear of going over bridges. Like I said, there's all kinds of fears. You imagine that, going over any kind of a bridge. He had a desperate fear of going over any kind of bridge. He said that when he would get up in the morning and he had to go across town, he would take the map and map out a route so he wouldn't have to go over a bridge. And he began to learn about the power of God, began to learn about how God able to deliver us from all these things. And finally, one day he realized that he had to challenged his fear, and he was driving along, and all of a sudden there was this huge bridge there, And he would say, he said, everything in my body used to be crinkle up when I'd come near a bridge. He said, even my toes would cramp up in my shoes. That I, there was such a spirit of fear would come upon me. I'd become all crunched up. And he said, I seen this bridge. And the last of it, he said, I just stepped on the gas. And he said, devil, you're not going to control me. You're not going to control me by the spirit of fear. And he drove up on the bridge and he stopped the car and got out and shouted hallelujah a few times. He faced his fear and was delivered from it. Suddenly, that fear had no more power over him. And you and I are being challenged today. I'll guarantee you one thing. You start facing your fears, just like Mike preached last week, there's an expiry date on it. You might be a little while dealing with, but there's an expiry date on it. And after a while, you go up to here, and you just like you're going into a cupboard and seeing, oh, mayonnaise, 3 years old. That goes out. Because it's past the expiry date. No longer having any control over you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I thank you, God, for your holy written and anointed word that declares that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I thank you, God, for a spirit of power, for a spirit of love, for a spirit of sound mind on your people this morning. I praise you, God, for your anointing and your blessing upon your people, Father. And God, we want to resemble our Father. We want to resemble a God who created us, walking in this earth without fear, giving glory to our Creator. We praise you for your goodness in this, Lord. And as we praise you and continue to give you thanks, Father, we know that you will work in and through us that we might be able to experience the fullness of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If this has touch you in any way this morning and there's something that you want to get rid of, I want to just pray a prayer together. We can do that together. If there's something, is there anybody here, you just signify by raising your hand, that there's something this morning that you know of that you want to get rid of, that area of fear. Yeah, a whole bunch of you. Okay, then we're going to pray. We're going to pray and we're going to believe. We're going to challenge that thing. We're going to face that thing. We're going to face it and say, and command it to release its hold on us by the Spirit of God and declare that it no longer has any hold on us. In World War II, General Patton was asked by an official in Sicily, an official said to him, General Patton, you're such a brave man. You did wonderful in the war. You're such a brave man. And General Patton said, that is so not true. I am a coward in most situations. He said, there has never been a battle that I went into. There has never been a shot fired or a battle within my vision where I wasn't so scared that my hands were just sweating like everything. Every part of me was just sweating. I was terrified. And then later on in his autobiography, he said this. He said, I learned from a very young age not to take counsel from my fears. So even though fear came upon him within that battle, and I would suggest that there's probably very, 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 very few people who are not afraid when they go into battle. But he did not take counsel from that battle. In other words, he didn't allow his fears to dictate his actions. Is that a step you're willing to take this morning? You're just not going to allow your fears to dictate your actions any longer. You're going to turn a page. Now say this with me. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are our God, our Father. We realize that we have great security in you. We find ourselves in you this morning. So in Jesus' name, we declare we have no fear. We speak to fear and command it to go in the name of Jesus. We declare the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in me now. In Jesus' name, you spirit of fear that harasses me through. Now you just speak to God and you speak to it, whatever it is. As you've been harassed with, you speak to it. And you command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. You command it to be cut off. You speak to it and declare that it'll no longer have any power over you. That it'll no longer dictate your actions. But it'll be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak to that with the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. You speak to that. You have control, authority over your body and over your life. You speak to that now in Jesus' name. Now in the name of Jesus, I speak grace and blessing and peace over your people. Father, I declare that your people are the head, not the tail. They're above only and not beneath. I declare that they have the favor of the Lord upon them, that the authority that Jesus came to bring us is upon each and every one in Jesus' name. I thank you that they are not ruled by fear, but they are free from fear. And I thank you, God, for your grace coming upon your people, especially those who raise their hands, Lord. Your grace coming upon them in a special way that they'll find themselves walking in total freedom in Jesus' name. We praise you for that. Say this with me. Father, I thank you. I have no fear. I'm blessed of God, and I worship you as my Father. Thank you for the safety that I have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say this with me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I am free from fear. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. And don't fear the big storm coming on Thursday or Tuesday or whatever they say it is. Have an awesome, awesome week. Remember Saturday night at Pastor Noel's church to come together and worship him and worship the Father, and so that we will declare his goodness in our island. If you need prayer for anything this morning, come on up. There'll be people who will pray with you and minister to you. God bless you. Have an awesome week.